Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's get after it. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. WEEI Late Night, the number 617-779-7937. Certainly welcome to hop on board. And if you want to weigh in on the Rob Gronkowski conversation we were having earlier, certainly welcome to do so. Really, the question was, is he starting to annoy you? Because he's starting to annoy me. Stop hinting at retirement. I'm so sick and tired of that crap. Every week, there's something new with Rob Gronkowski. I gave you six examples earlier. One of the examples is he's tossing balls with Tom Brady, right? He's playing catch with Tom Brady. You also had him sending an Instagram video to George Strait about coming out of retirement for a new tour, like hinting at these things that he could actually return. Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, going on ESPN show Get Up and saying if Brady calls him, maybe he could come back. Like, I'm just so sick and tired of this stuff. Either come back to the team or don't. But don't tease the fan base. Don't tease the organization, okay? I'm sick and tired of that. Also, the fact that he essentially cost you Jared Cook because Gronk couldn't make his decision until the end of March, to the point where Jared Cook was deciding between the Saints and the Patriots, and the Patriots couldn't tell Jared Cook that Gronk definitely wasn't going to be back because Jared Cook wanted to be the number one tight end option somewhere. So that's why he chose New Orleans over New England. That's on Rob Gronkowski for not deciding quick enough, okay? So that irritates me about Rob Gronkowski. But anyway, I wanted to move over to some Celtics here. So anyway, Danny Ainge sat down with Michael Hawley to do a podcast, and Danny Ainge had a very interesting thing, a very interesting story about Jaylen Brown.
I mean, Jaylen Brown grabbed me in the lunchroom, and he came and sat by me, and he said, "Do you think that we're as good as 1986 Celtics team?"
Oh, my goodness.
And I went, oh my gosh, he's so young. And I just don't think that they could even grasp that 1985 loss to the Lakers and the torture of that series and what that led, and that, you know, Larry Bird was in his prime.
Yeah, definitely close. They were definitely close. It's a tough discussion. I don't know, the 2018-2019 Celtics or the 86 Celtic. Yeah, it's a tough discussion. I mean, I understand why Jaylen brings it up. It makes total sense from my perspective. It's a fair question. You had Bill Walton, arguably the best sixth man of all time, considering he was a former NBA MVP, one of the greatest 50 players of all time, also won a finals MVP. Remember, won a title with Portland in 77. He's coming off the bench. Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Larry Bird. You got Kyrie, Tatum, Horford. Yeah, they match up well.
Looking at it like matchup to matchup to matchup, you know, like you're doing a video game.
Yeah, I'd go 2018-2019 Celtics. And you know what? The other thing I would say, as it pertains to the Celtics last year with an advantage over the 86 Celtics, chemistry, right? That Celtics team had better chemistry than the 86 Celtics team. Definitely way more chemistry. Like, in all seriousness, though, the 86 Celtics are considered to be one of the three greatest teams in the history of the sport. Like, the teams that always come up, the 86 Celtics, that Bulls team that won 72 games, and then maybe one of these Warriors teams from the new generation, and maybe a Kobe Shaq Lakers team or one of the Magic Kareem teams. But they're in the handful of great teams in the history of the sport if you're talking about individual years. The 86 year was obviously magical. But something stuck out to me about that. Remember, Jaylen Brown was also on Bleacher Report before the season. Remember what he said? He was going to have five NBA titles before he was the age of 28. So there's that. There's Jaylen actually legitimately asking Danny Ainge the question about, is this team better than the 86 Celtics? Jaylen Brown on Bleacher Report saying that he was going to have five titles by the time he was 28. And then after I heard this from Danny Ainge today, I thought back and I was like, you know what? Jason Tatum said something funny last week too. So Jason Tatum is, of course, with Team USA, and this is when they were in Las Vegas before they moved on to Los Angeles. By the way, you see Tatum in that blue-white scrimmage? Led the team in scoring, 17 points. All right, Tatum, I like it. But nonetheless, Tatum said this about a week and a half ago now. Quote, "All my stats were better. I did better, just not the jump that I expected. And the rest of the world expected, which I should have known with the team, the dynamics. We had so many guys, so many talented people trying to win a championship, and everybody had to sacrifice and take a step back." Okay, now hold on a second. Jason Tatum said everybody needed to sacrifice and take a step back. So let's put this into the proper context here. Jason Tatum thought he was sacrificing last year. If there was anybody outside of Kyrie that wanted to argue about sacrificing, Jason Tatum's the last guy that could do it. Jason Tatum's the only guy that, like, his, and Jason Tatum and Marcus Morris, his shots and minutes went up. Jason Tatum last year, 13.1 shots per game. That was second on the team. More shots than he had a season ago. Minutes per game, second on the team behind only Kyrie. So Jason Tatum actually thought what he was doing last year was sacrificing. He actually thought he was sacrificing last year, did Jason Tatum. Now, if you want to talk about sacrificing Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, remember, the dude went to the bench. Okay, so if you want to talk about sacrificing, I'll entertain it from those guys' perspective, but not from Jason Tatum. So I really start to think about this, okay? So really, the narrative that has been put out there by fans and also by members of the media, and especially members of the local media in particular, it seems like everybody says, oh, well, you know what? Kyrie's gone. Everything's going to be kumbaya with this team. Kyrie was such a bad influence on the culture. He was so bad for the ethos of the team that the Celtics are going to be fine going forward just as long as Kyrie Irving's not around, right? Doesn't it seem like that's been the narrative in this town? At least from my perspective, that's been the narrative. Oh, Kemba's going to help the culture so much. Okay. All right, maybe you're right about that. It can't be worse. I mean, the culture can't be worse. So I'm certainly on board with that. But what I keep coming back to is this. It seems like, from my perspective, there were way more issues with this team than just the Kyrie situation. Was Kyrie a dark cloud over the organization? Was being around Kyrie a problem? Yes, all that is true. But there can also be other problems on the team that don't just get solved when Kyrie Irving goes to Brooklyn. There's other issues with this team. And I would point to the head coach. How do you have a player in Jaylen Brown before the season talking about winning five championships before he turns 28? How do you have a player in Jason Tatum that thinks he was actually sacrificing last year, than, especially considering the fact that he was taking more shots per game than anybody not named Kyrie Irving? Right? Because what happened with this Celtics team last year is nobody knew their role. That was the issue with the team. The number one issue with this Celtics team, and I get Kyrie was there too, but the number one issue is Brad Stevens didn't lay out roles with the team. That's what happened to this team, because every good team in the NBA, those guys know their roles. Okay, look at the Raptors. They knew, the team that won the championship, Kawhi's going to be the main hub of the offense. He's the guy. Then Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam, they're going to be the number two and number three options, right? They knew their role. Marc Gasol's coming over in a trade from Memphis. Hey, Mark, we need you to play great defense on Embiid if we get to that point in the playoffs. But other than that, you're going to be a pick-and-pop guy. We get you been an all-star multiple times in this league. You're a pick-and-pop guy now. Okay, I'm cool with that. I'm trying to win a championship. He knew his role. You look at a team like the Golden State Warriors, all those guys know their roles. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, they're going to do the scoring. Klay Thompson's going to run around like crazy. He's going to get open threes. He's going to play great defense. Draymond knows he's not going to take a lot of shots, but he's going to play great defense. Right? All these teams, they knew their roles. And you can say, well, Brian, those are veteran teams. How about the Bucks? Giannis Antetokounmpo on that team, right? They had a clear pecking order. Giannis is the main guy, and then Chris Middleton is the number two option. And then Malcolm Brogdon's going to be like a secondary playmaker when he comes into the game. Brooke Lopez, your role on this team, don't ever go in the post. Okay, you're going to make our offense much better by shooting threes. Okay, a 7'2" guy that's just going to stand out there and shoot threes. So all these good teams in the NBA, there was a clear layout of what they were going to do, right, in terms of everybody knew their role. The issue with the Celtics is Brad Stevens never created any sort of hierarchy, any sort of pecking order, right? So if you look at the Celtics team, nobody knew what they were supposed to do. Nobody knew. It's kind of like we talk about the Red Sox bullpen, right? At the beginning of the season, nobody knew what their role was. There was no closer. There was no setup man. There was no seventh inning guy. That's what the Celtics were after Kyrie Irving. And it really backfired on the Celtics, because it appeared what Brad Stevens wanted to do is he wanted the second best player to kind of come organically, to somebody to prove that they were the second best guy on the team. But nobody did. Okay, nobody proved that they were so much better than the third best player on the team, so to speak. It should have been Jason Tatum, but it never really happened. So here's my question. So if you look at Brad Stevens when he had that underdog team, right? I call them the Butler Celtics, right? When they had like one star player, Isaiah Thomas, they were the Butler Celtics. And even the team back 2 years ago, Hayward goes down in the first game of the season. Then Kyrie Irving goes down. He's not available in the playoffs. Those were the Butler Celtics because they were the little engine that could. Nobody expected to get anything out of them. So obviously Brad Stevens had the attention of everybody. Jason Tatum was a 19-year-old rookie. Jaylen Brown was in his second year. Terry Rozier was a non-established player. Al Horford's, like, we all know, the greatest teammate ever, according to the fan base. But we all knew that Al Horford didn't have this massive ego. He didn't need the ball every time he went down the court. So everybody was pulling the rope in the same direction because you had all these guys that were still trying to emerge as NBA players, and they were all very impressionable at that particular point in time because they were still trying to establish themselves as legitimate NBA players. But what happened was now last season, Brad Stevens was actually coaching the Boston Celtics, like a professional basketball team, where there were real expectations and there were real egos and there were real actual NBA problems. And those NBA problems, from my perspective, he could not handle them last year, but those problems are still here this year. With these Celtics in particular, they still have issues in terms of real first-world NBA problems, right? Because if you think about it, they're not the Butler Celtics anymore. These guys have expectations for themselves individually, right? So you look at it, Kemba Walker comes over, he's the new star of the team. He's going to need his touches. Enes Kanter, who for whatever reason the Celtics love and the Celtics fan base drools over, which is pathetic to me. Everybody loves the fact he's trolling Kyrie Irving. Well, are you guys going to love the fact that he's playing no defense whatsoever when it comes to the regular season? Call me then. Call me then about Enes Kanter. Everyone's celebrating. I mean, that was pathetic. They're celebrating Enes Kanter signing with the Celtics a couple of weeks ago because he's mocking Kyrie, trolling Kyrie. Okay, great. Yeah, they got Enes Kanter. Congratulations. But nonetheless, that guy has an ego. He's on a two-year, $10 million contract with an opt-out after the second year, and he realizes that he's the only experienced big man on the team, right? Because Robert Williams is still somebody that's developing as an NBA player. As an NBA player, he's still in his embryonic stages, if you will. So he's still going to learn the position. Cantor's going to get a ton of minutes. He's going to try to score a ton because he wants a new contract worth more money going forward. Jaylen Brown is somebody at this particular point in time that's playing for what? A contract. Jaylen Brown wants a new deal. He wants to get paid. He saw guys from his draft class, Jamal Murray, Ben Simmons, get max contract extensions this summer. Now, look, I'm not saying that the Celtics should have given Jaylen Brown that type of money or anything along those lines. All I'm saying is Jaylen Brown knows he's getting ready to enter restricted free agency, so he wants to make his money. He wants his opportunities. And you think Jaylen Brown's going to be cool if Brad Stevens, like, puts him on the bench this year? Not that that will happen. I'm just saying. Jaylen Brown's going to be a lot more frisky this year now that Kyrie's out of the building. And then you look at Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum wants to emerge as a legitimate, bona fide NBA superstar. So these are not the Butler Celtics. These are the Boston Celtics that they have real NBA problems. You have legitimate egos. And I'm not saying they're immediately going to be problems, but also Hayward. He's trying to reemerge as a legitimate all-star level player. Now, can he ever get back to that level? Probably not. But he wants to at least be a competent player again and live up to the contract because the first 2 years of the contract have basically been dead salary. 2 years ago, he was injured and no fault of his own. And last year, he wasn't the same player. So we have all those different things with real NBA problems. Are we so sure that Brad Stevens is the guy that's going to be able to handle these type of issues with the Boston Celtics? Because it feels like to me what the fan base has done and what the organization has been preaching is that it was all Kyrie's fault. Everything that was wrong with this team had to do with Kyrie Irving. But when I read some of the stuff that come out after the season, or that came out after the season, I should say, I'm looking at other directions as well. I'm looking at the fact that Jaylen Brown's out there talking, and this was before the season, talking about winning 5 championship rings. Jaylen Brown didn't understand how good the team was, right? He's talking about Danny Ainge comparing this team to the 86 team. Come on. You got Jason Tatum that actually thinks he legitimately sacrificed things last year by only taking 13 shots per game and playing the second most minutes on the team. He didn't sacrifice anything, man. If anybody has an argument about sacrificing, that would be Jaylen Brown, who actually went to the bench, not Jason Tatum, right? And then you look at the fact that there's reports that came out that there were members of the Celtics team, players on the team, that were aggravated with the amount of opportunities that Gordon Hayward was getting. And look, I don't know how Brad Stevens could have handled that situation differently, because I understand. Look, now there's definitely truth to it, because it was reported by multiple different people that some of the younger players on the team were upset with the amount of opportunities Gordon Hayward was getting. I don't know how Brad Stevens, and I'll defend Brad Stevens in this sense, I don't know how he handles this differently. So he started the season in the starting lineup, which everybody expected he would. He's an all-star a couple of years ago. But then when he wasn't playing well, Brad Stevens put him on the bench. What did the team want? What did the players on the team want him to do? Take him out of the rotation? What are you going to put, Yabusele in there? Who's stepping into the rotation? You're going to give Ogele his spot in the rotation? I mean, I really don't understand. You're trying to get something out of Gordon Hayward. What did the young players on the team want him to do? So I'll defend Brad Stevens from that perspective. But that was also a problem, obviously, in the locker room that was never basically taken care of, because that was an aggravation for some of the young players that they had throughout the whole season. So now when I look at this whole thing going forward with the Celtics is, when these problems present themselves this season, is Brad Stevens going to be able to handle them? And the one thing that I would say that Brad Stevens needs to make abundantly clear when they enter training camp this season, there needs to be a pecking order with this team. There needs to be a sense where everybody feels comfortable in their role. Because clearly last year, these guys didn't feel comfortable whatsoever. They had no idea what they were doing. They had no idea what their role was on the team. And that's something that Brad Stevens going forward is going to have to establish. And he's going to have to make sure that he pleases a lot of guys on the team. So Kemba Walker, where do you like the ball? What do you like to do? Okay, Jason Tatum, we're trying to have him emerge as a star on the team. That's what Brad Stevens has to be saying to himself. So I got to figure out a way to get Jason Tatum the ball in advantageous situations with his skill set. Because last year, they wanted to almost mimic the Warriors. They wanted to play this beautiful game of basketball where the ball is hopping and the ball has life and everybody feels good about themselves. The reality is that doesn't work unless you're the Warriors, one of the historically great teams of all time. You got to run plays for Jason Tatum. You got to run plays for Jaylen Brown. Like, remember what made Jaylen Brown so special in that postseason run a couple of years ago was his slashing ability, right? So Jaylen Brown would fly off screens in the corner and get the ball, and he'd turn the corner, get downhill, get to the bucket. We saw none of those things last year with Jaylen Brown. At the beginning of the season, you took Jaylen Brown and you made him into a spot-up shooter. Remember at the beginning of the season, Jaylen Brown just hanging out in the corner. It's like, Brad, that's not what he does. That's not what his skill set is. Jaylen Brown's just not a spot-up shooter. What do you think? He's J.J. Redick? That's not what you asked Jaylen Brown to do. They treated him like he was P.J. Tucker with the Rockets, where P.J. Tucker's role is play defense and sit in the corner, and James Harden's going to dribble the crap out of the ball, and if you're open in the corner, he'll swing it to you. That's what he was doing with Jaylen Brown last year, and that's just bad coaching. That's actually coaching malpractice when you don't put your players in an advantageous situation, and that's exactly what Brad Stevens did with Jaylen Brown. He didn't put him in a position to succeed. So now going forward, Brad Stevens has got to figure this out. You cannot just go into last season like you did, or you can't go into this season, rather, like you did last season, where you didn't establish roles. Because when guys don't know what they're supposed to be doing, you get the results you had last year, where you had no clear pecking order, you had no clear hierarchy, and guys didn't understand what they were supposed to be doing. So you had all these egos at the same time, arguing internally, and you had issues with all these players. You look at Jaylen Brown, he had his issues, right? You look at somebody like Terry Rozier, he had issues. All these different players on the Celtics had issues. So Brad Stevens has to come to the realization heading into this season that he screwed up big time last year. He was a major failure last year. Yeah, there's a lot of blame that goes on Kyrie Irving's shoulders. I would certainly acknowledge that. But Brad Stevens has to acknowledge that he also messed up a lot last year by not creating a pecking order and by not establishing what guys were supposed to be doing, right? It's in like any workplace. When you know what you're doing, you come into work and you do that job. When you don't know what you're doing, you're clueless. You have no idea what you're supposed to be doing, right? That's what the Celtics were last year. They were the guys going into work having no idea what their role was, no idea what their job was. And Brad Stevens did a piss poor job of trying to relay what these guys' roles were. In fact, he just didn't do it. He didn't pay attention to it whatsoever. All right, if you want to hop on board, 617-779-7937 is your number. I also want to get to this. One thing that I heard Jaylen Brown say that I would be concerned about if I'm Brad Stevens. I'll get into that next. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEEI. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Sox beat the Indians 5-1, taking 2 of 3 from Cleveland in the series. Xander Bogaerts belted a pair of home runs and drove in 4. Nathan Eovaldi ended up picking up the win on the mound. Eovaldi threw 2 scoreless innings. The Sox will host the Orioles Friday night for the first of a 3-game set. Joe Castiglione and Dale Arnold will have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. The Pats held a joint practice with the Titans this morning. The two teams will practice again tomorrow before their preseason game in Nashville Saturday. Some injury notes. Rookie N'Keal Harry was on the field at the start of practice but did not participate. Harry's dealing with a hamstring injury. Philip Dorsett left practice after appearing to land on his hand. Dorsett did return to the field but did not further participate. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jalen is, you know, he might have handled a difficult situation better than anybody on our team last year. Very mature kid, wants to be great, knows that his time is coming, but it's hard for him to be patient, but he has been patient. And he continues to work. He finds guys. Right now he's working out with Donovan Mitchell. Last year, I think it was Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's trying to find ways to get better. And I think Jalen's going to be a very good player and has a very bright future.
So that was Danny Ainge on Michael Hawley's podcast. So he said that he thought that Jaylen Brown handled the distractions better than anybody else last year. Okay, well, I remember when Jaylen Brown, and I was sticking up for Jaylen Brown when he said this, last year when Kyrie Irving called out the young guys and he said, I can't win a championship with these guys, Jaylen said, quote, we can't make comments, we can't point fingers, we just got to empower each other. If we don't, everybody's going to fall into their own little shell. We've got to be more accountable as a group. It's not one guy's fault, it's not the young guys, the old guy's fault, it's everybody. We all have to be accountable to turn things around. Interesting. Because when Jaylen Brown said that, crickets. Where was Brad Stevens? Oh, he didn't say anything. But when Kyrie Irving called out Brad Stevens basically apologized to Kyrie. But when Jaylen Brown's calling out Kyrie Irving, Danny Ainge said he handled the distractions better than anybody else. Where were the teammates? Where were the members of the organization defending Jaylen Brown? Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. That's what pisses me off about that comment from Danny Ainge. Because Jaylen Brown was doing the right thing last year. Because now we're all realizing that Kyrie Irving was a complete fraud. And Jaylen Brown's the one guy that had the balls to call him out publicly. And nobody supported him. And now you got Danny Ainge, months after the fact, saying Jaylen handled it better than everybody else. Where were you when this was going down? That's when you should have said something. 617-779-7937 is the number. That really irritates me. It really does. Jaylen Brown is the one guy that would stick up to Kyrie Irving publicly. Maybe other guys maybe said something to Kyrie privately, but Jaylen Brown actually said something publicly because he's like, you know what? This is just getting ridiculous. Kyrie Irving every day wants to say something about us in terms of the young guys don't know what it's like to win a championship and all that different type of crap. And Jaylen Brown realized what everybody now knows. Kyrie Irving was dividing the locker room. Kyrie Irving was an issue in the locker room. And Jaylen Brown calls him out. And what happens? Crickets. Nobody supports Jaylen Brown. Nobody. In fact, what does Jaylen Brown get for disagreeing with Kyrie throughout the season? He gets put on the damn bench. Okay? He gets put on the bench. And now you have Danny Ainge saying at this particular point in time, at this point, that Jaylen handled the distractions better than anybody? Yeah, why didn't you guys support him during the season when what he was saying was the truth? That's what irritates me about that comment from Danny Ainge. By the way, another thing that I would be worried about if I was Brad Stevens. Found this interesting. So this is a week ago. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker, they're working out in Las Vegas last week. Now this week they're in Los Angeles. And they're working out for Team USA, and we all know who the coach is, right? Greg Popovich, the assistant coach is Steve Kerr. And for one of the practices, Brad was there. Little Brad was sitting up in the stands observing, trying to learn what it's like to be Greg Popovich or Steve Kerr. Between them as coaches, they have 8 championship rings. Steve Kerr's got a lot more as a player as well, but Brad's taking his notes, taking everything in. Here's what Jaylen Brown had to say about playing for this particular coaching staff. Quote, they all have their own styles and coaching traits. It's like different ways of explaining and teaching. But playing for Greg Popovich, I'll do that any day of the week. But playing for Greg Popovich, I'll do that any day of the week. I'm not saying that's a jab at Brad, but I don't know, is it? I'll play for Greg Popovich any day of the week. Also, this may be scar tissue, right? Jaylen Brown, he was the one that called out Kyrie. Nobody stuck up for him. How about what's going on with Jaylen Brown right now? We just saw, and I'm not saying he deserves a max contract, but we just saw Jamal Murray get a max contract, Ben Simmons get a max contract, and Jaylen Brown acknowledged at Summer League that he's not even been approached about a contract. So when you hear a player talking about his contract, oh, they haven't even talked to me. You know that he's aggravated with the situation. If I was Jaylen Brown, I would be very, very hesitant about my future here with the Celtics because I think about it from a couple of different angles. First of all, nobody supported you last year. They haven't talked to you about a contract. And then who do you think the organization likes more, Tatum or Brown?
Pretty Tatum.
Easy. Yeah. Right, Joe? Pretty easy to figure that one out. So if I'm Jalen, I'm like, hold on, I was also the number three pick. I came in before Jason Tatum, yet all your eggs are in the Jason Tatum basket. So if I was Jalen Brown, I'd be very uneasy about my future, and quite frankly, I'd be pissed off. I would have been so irritated with my teammates if I was Jalen Brown last year. The fact that all you get for calling out Kyrie Irving is a seat on the bench, I mean, that was just an absolute joke. It really was. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Paul in Concord. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's going on? I remember one of the knocks on Brown. I don't know. Tell me if you remember this.
Sure.
One of the knocks on Brown when he got drafted, I remember they were saying he was too academic, like too smart, and they didn't think he would like hold an interest in basketball, that like, you know, being an NBA player would end up being secondary because
I know what you're talking about, Paul. There was also this story that came out this year when like some of the issues were going on with the Celtics. It might have been Jackie McMullen who had this story. I forget who it was, but they said like, oh, here's Jalen talking about this again. Like, yeah, he thinks he's very smart, which he is a very, really smart guy. But nonetheless, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And then there's another thing, like the thing about winning championships, it's tough. I don't want to reference the 08 team too much, but Pierce, Allen, and Garnett had their lowest scoring averages that year, the year they won the title.
All right.
And I don't know, like Brad Stevens can't just walk into the locker room, this fall and be like, okay, guys, we all have to share the ball. You know, there does have to be like a pecking order. Like you were talking about work, like you go to work, there's bosses, supervisors, and workers, you know, whatever you want to call, for lack of a better word, workers. You know, and you don't just, I guess in the old days that there used to be more of like, you're the number one option, you're the number two option, you're the number three option. I think the number one option should be Jason Tatum, but I don't think he should be the leader of the team. The leader of the team has to be Kemba Walker.
Right. Now, here's...
That doesn't... That,
yeah, Paul, right, those are some pretty good points. So here's what I counter with that. So the first thing is Walker is going to be the number one option this year, but I get your point. I've said multiple times on this show that Jason Tatum is the most important Celtic since Kevin Garnett because Garnett made them instantly title contenders. If the Celtics are going to be championship contenders again, Tatum's going to have to develop into a top 10 player in the league because we've seen you're not going to get that guy externally. You can get the secondary free agents, you're not getting the main guy. So I understand where you're coming from that, but my suggestion has been this to the Celtics. You play Kemba and you play Tatum the entire first quarter, and then what you do is you take Gordon Hayward and you take Jaylen Brown out about 6 minutes in to the first quarter, and those guys start the second quarter together against reserves where Gordon Hayward is basically the de facto point guard and Jaylen Brown is featured more in the offense. So then you take care of your four most important players where they're all getting their opportunities. That would be my suggestion because you don't have to do it like you say, like, hey, you're option one, two, three, or four, but you can build these things up through the way that you play and the plays that you design.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I really hope that I agree with what you're saying. Like, there is a way, and Stevens is definitely the kind of coach. One thing I loved about Stevens is not last year's team, but the team the year before that almost made the finals. Everybody played from Tice to Yavaselli and Lajoie, right down. They actually played. Like, the bench players actually played. He knows how to organize minutes. And I just think, even if Tatum isn't the number one option, I don't know. I think he becomes the number one option naturally.
Yeah,
I think that happens with players in the NBA. I think he's going to become the number one guy naturally this season.
Yeah, Paul, there's a lot to that, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab Paul's line if you like. It's 617-779-7937. A couple of things I really like from Tatum this season. He's working out with Drew Hanlon, his skills coach who works with a lot of NBA players, and like the three principles are get to the free throw line more, which I was harping on all of last season. He only attempted 2.9 free throw attempts per game. Shoot more threes and less mid-range jumpers. Like, he took some of the worst shots in the NBA from an efficiency standpoint. If you're going to take that long too, just step a little bit further back and take the three. The problem was Jason Tatum, he's got to work on his ball handling as well because he would just stop and settle for a jump shot instead of getting to the free throw line. If you're going to be an upper tier small forward in this league, you got to be getting to the free throw line more often. Now, I'm not saying he had to get to this level last year, but LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, Kevin Durant, those are the best small forwards in the league. They attempt about 7 free throws per game, and Jason Tatum only attempted 2.9 free throw attempts per game last season. That's not nearly good enough from Jason Tatum's perspective. He's got to get that up going into next season. And the other thing I would say to Paul's point is if you look at NBA guys, so there's rookies that struggle in their first year, and then they take the jump in year two, right? So De'Aaron Fox for Sacramento, he struggles in year one. He takes the step in year two. There's also rookies that come onto the scene. They play really well in year one, and then they don't usually take the step forward, right? Like Donovan Mitchell wasn't much better his second year than his first year. Same thing with Jason Tatum. But what usually happens with these guys that have a good rookie season, an okay second season, not that it was a bad season, but he didn't take a huge step forward, so to speak. These guys usually then will take a bigger jump in year three. It happened with Paul George. It happens with a lot of players in the league. Like, look at Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was really good his first 2 years. Then he took a massive step forward in year three. So usually what we see is that third year for most of these guys, they take a step forward. Let's get to Paul in Westfield. What's up, Paul?
Hey. How are you, bud?
Hey, Paul.
I have 3 questions, and I got to thank the show. He really helped Jason.
Hey, say that again, Paul. You're breaking up.
Your producer, Joe, is a great dude. That was my voice.
Oh, yeah. Joe's a great dude.
My first question is, Jay Tyrus said, when the group that went out.
Hey, Paul, I don't know if it's on your end or my end, but I'm having trouble hearing you right now. We'll try to get Paul back, but if you want to hop on board, the number is 617-779-7937. Let's get to Matt in Medfield. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Ellen, the caller, a couple of calls earlier, the pecking order, I don't really think you need a number one, number two, number three. I think that if you understand as a team, if someone's hot, you feed them. And that's just how it should be. If you look at Golden State, you know, if Kevin Durant's feeling it, they feed him. If Curry's feeling it, they feed him. If Thompson's feeling it, they feed him. Everyone needs to know it's the team. You got to understand, if this guy's feeling it, give him the ball. That's the best chance to win.
Yeah, but Matt, those guys are basketball geniuses. Curry and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. These guys are way less established stars. There has to be some sort of offensive system that takes the strength of Jason Tatum and puts it on the court, takes the strength of Jaylen Brown, puts Kemba Walker in the right positions. Those guys are just so damn good that you really don't have to have an offense. They're that good you can just play a pickup game because Durant can score whenever he wants, Curry can score whenever they want, and they know when the other guy's hot, they give him the ball. The problem is with this Celtics team, you don't have guys that have established themselves.
That's true, but how did they get there? Curry, Durant, Thompson. They got there because they figured it out where you pass this guy, he's going to score, and he's going to open up more things for me.
Well, also, Curry and Thompson figured it out because they were taking 18 shots per game earlier in their career. That's how they figured it out.
Which is what they, Brown and Tim did when Kyrie went down.
In the playoffs, yeah, but that's what I'm saying is last year, you look at Jaylen Brown's number, the field goal attempts were down, Jason Tatum's were up, but these guys need to have more opportunities when they're put in advantageous situations. Like, you don't want just Jaylen Brown sitting in the corner like he did last year. That's how they started the season. That's not good for for Jaylen Brown's development. That's halting his development. That's not good coaching.
I agree 100%. However, you add in Marcus Morris, you add in Terry Rozier, like you said, Gordon Hayward, all those guys, with that many guys, everyone wants the ball. You're right. Nothing is going to work with that because everyone wants to score.
Right.
You spread it out, the more you spread it out, with fewer guys, they all will get more shots. They all will understand more that if I pass the ball, I will get the ball back. Then you understand that, yes, like I can pass it, I'll cut, and I'll get the ball again. Rather than when you have Kyrie or you have Rozier, ball down at point guard, kind of like Kemba, which is true, but you'll get the ball back, which is it helps with the chemistry.
Yeah, I understand the point. Matt, I understand your point. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. In an ideal world, that would work, right? Where everyone says, oh, if this guy's hot, let's get him in the ball. But the problem is,
There's other guys on the team that don't deserve as many shots as certain members of the organization. Jason Tatum deserves more shots than anybody on this team next year, with the exception of Kemba Walker. That's just how the reality of the situation presents itself. So your offense has to be geared around Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker. That's just how this thing needs to work out, right? Because what happened last year is basically everybody was competing to be the second best player on the team. So every time Jason Tatum got the ball, he thought he had to do something. When Gordon Hayward got the ball, he thought he had to do something. Marcus Morris was trying to get a paycheck, right? He was trying to get a big check from a team in free agency. So every time he got the ball, he thought he should shoot it. He turned into a black hole on this team. So that's where the offense just completely cratered. It broke down. There was no ball movement whatsoever because everybody was trying to prove they were the second best player on the team. So you can't just say, oh, let's hope this situation works out organically, because last year, that was your hope, that organically the situation was going to work out, and all of a sudden there's going to be this nice free-flowing offense. Never happens. 617-779-7937 is the number. If you want to weigh in on this, what do you make of the Celtics entering the 2019-2020 season? Do you trust Brad Stevens as the head coach? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI. All right, Brian Barrett.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With you to the top of the hour, to the top of the hour, rather. What'd I say? Alder? Hour. 617-779-7937 is your number. All right, so we're chatting about the Celtics entering the 2019-2020 season. And I've said on multiple occasions, Jason Tatum is the most important player in this organization because when they got Garnett, they became championship contenders and they won the championship. We've seen over the past couple of years, the Celtics are not going to get somebody from another team via free agency and make that guy into a superstar or get a superstar that's already established, one of the top 5 to 10 players in the league, and be able to recruit them into Boston. Doesn't happen. You can get the secondary guys, the Haywards, the Walkers, the Horfords. You can get those guys, but you can't get the ultimate superstar. That's why to become a legitimate title contender again, you're going to need Jason Tatum to pop. You're going to need Jason Tatum to become a star. And look, the potential's there. We've seen it. Has the scoring ability. Has the NBA body, if you will. And he's actually putting on more weight this offseason. I love the fact that he's trying to get rid of the mid-range jump shots. And I love the fact that he was humbled last year because he didn't have the season that everybody expected him to have. So he's going to be motivated coming into the season. I love the way that he's already acting like an NBA superstar, recruiting a guy like Kemba Walker to team up with him, so to speak. That's what you see from veterans in the league. He's already acting that way. But if he develops into that superstar-level player, then the Celtics can be contenders in the foreseeable future. That's why that's the most important thing in 2019-2020 is Tatum developing and looking like he could take that step to being a perennial all-star. Let's get to Nick in Norwich. What's up, Nick?
Hi, how you doing, bud? I'm just want to talk about more or less Jason Tatum, but also Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
Like, these guys are rising stars, but if you give them the chance to give 15 to 20 shots per game instead of 10, like, what's your opinion on that? And, like, because these guys, at one point.
Yeah, Nick, I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. Jason Tatum is going to get at least 15, 16 shots per game. He got 13 last year. He'll get 15, 16 easily. And Jaylen Brown attempted about 10 field goal attempts per game. He should be up in the 13, 14 range. So Jason Tatum, I believe that he's going to look like a guy that you're saying, all right, he could be on the verge of becoming an all-star. Remember, this is only his third year in the league. And now he understands where he fits on the pecking order, at least organically. He should understand that he's, without question, if not the best player, the second best player on the team, right? He knows he's one of the star guys on this team. It's him and Kemba Walker, right? And Jaylen Brown's kind of out on the periphery a little bit. So that's the interesting thing to monitor is how they handle the Jaylen Brown situation, because it already seems like he's a little aggravated with the situation in Boston. He's the one that stuck up to Kyrie. Nobody backed him. They haven't approached him about a contract extension. The organization likes Tatum more than it likes Brown. I mean, that's been made abundantly clear. So that's the question mark I'm going to have. I told you what my solution would be to this team, how I would manage the minutes. Kemba and Tatum play the whole first quarter. That's what most star players do. And then Hayward and Jaylen Brown start the game, but they come out about 6 minutes left in the first quarter, and they start the second quarter against reserves, and that's where they make their hay. And then everybody wins. Everybody's happy. Okay, everybody eats, to use the cliche. I want to get to this one story about the Patriots before I take off for the night, though. So Chris Long, you remember him, former Patriot, won a Super Bowl for the Patriots. This is what he has to say in Sports Illustrated. He's now a member of the media. Jimmy Garoppolo was once thought to be Brady's heir apparent, and maybe he is after all. Let's say Jimmy G has a modest year. He puts in parentheses, I don't think he does. And he looks like Ryan Tannehill 2.0. Next offseason, Brady hits the market and expresses interest in returning home to suit up for the team he adored as a teenager in 1990. San Francisco releases Garoppolo, and he ends up back in New England, where Belichick beautifully repurposes what's perceived as damaged goods. New England will have no choice, as the 2019 Brady-led Pats will play too well to land them a high pick in a QB-rich draft unless they can convert their picks into a top 10 prospect. The Italian Stallion leads the Pats to an unlikely Super Bowl berth where he meets, you guessed it, the GOAT. So this is like next level prediction for Chris Long. Like, people are predicting, oh, Brady could leave and all this different type of stuff. Oh, Garoppolo. Actually, Glenn Ordway's had this take for like a year and a half now, that Garoppolo's going to end up back on the Patriots because he's got an out on his contract after this season. It's a team option, by the way. So the only way they'd get rid of Garoppolo as if he sucked. But how about Chris Long, man? That is an in-depth prediction. So he thinks that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a year in San Francisco where they release him because he's not living up to the contract, so to speak. They're going to release him. Brady's going to test free agency. And because Brady grew up in the Bay Area, he's going to sign with the Niners. Garoppolo, Belichick's going to take Garoppolo back to the Patriots. And then in 2 years, Brady and Garoppolo are going to meet up in the Super Bowl and they're going to play each other. So, hey, all these things we've been trying to figure out for the past couple of months about the Brady contract situation, Garoppolo's future, Chris Long just told you what's going to happen. They're going to switch teams. All right, thanks to Joe Cortez for producing. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.